And on the line, we are joined now by John Bunny, who is a legend in himself, aren't you, Dr. John? How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us. You are a consultant and a general surgeon for colorectal and general surgery, aren't you, John, at the Bath Clinic. Tell me a bit about your background of how you came to join the Bath Clinic and how you got so interested in this area of surgery.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me and for asking. Yes, as you say, I'm a consultant colorectal and general surgeon. And I was inspired to do surgery, interestingly enough, as a medical student in Bath some 22 years ago. And what I find particularly fascinating about this area of surgery is the huge impact that you can make on patients' lives. And it is really quite remarkable that nowadays, even despite all the advances in modern medicine and molecular medicine, that actually, particularly for what we call visceral cancer, for organ cancer, we do know that really it is the quality and accuracy of the surgery that governs the best outcome. So it's an immensely rewarding field. You see the impact you can make on patients, not just on their longevity, but also on their quality of life. And I think the anatomy is very interesting. And it's a privilege to see patients from all walks of life and how resilient people are, because people are very resilient.
It's amazing, isn't it? We are a species that keeps on astounding me. We see it in every walk of life, don't we? Where we see adversity, we see disease, we see bereavement, we see challenges, and you see people rise, don't you? They rise to the challenge of not only their own wellness that they're looking after, but the wellness of others.
Absolutely, and there's so many elements to it. So there's this sort of the physiological hurdles that patients overcome. There's the shock. Some patients sometimes need stoma bags and imagine they'll never be able to cope, but then they cope remarkably well. And we're lucky to have a team that helps support that. So with our nurse specialists, our stoma therapy team, and they support patients. There's so many elements to it. It's easy to focus on the medical side, but there's psychological impact, spiritual impact, financial impact, and as you say, it does bring people together, and generally we can make a positive impact on patients.
And that's that. And having seen it firsthand, yes, I know you do. Being no doubt that you do make that positive impact at Bath Clinic, and I think that's something that is really good for people to know. Is not just that there are people like yourself out there to help cure, but there are ways that they can help themselves in the preventative measures, aren't there? Because as you, I'm sure, will advocate, prevention is better than cure. And there are ways, aren't there, that people can help themselves in lifestyle choices to be more aware of their cancer risks and what to do. So if you were going to, as I say, we are being aware of cancer, bowel cancer, especially this month, what would you say to people who are listening and who are becoming more aware of, I suppose, their own mortality, if you like, and taking better care of themselves? How can we not visit you, Dr. John? As much as you're a lovely chap, nobody really wants to see
you. Sweet. That's very kind of you. So, funnily enough, I had a research grant years ago from a very famous doctor called Elizabeth Blackwell, and she coined the term, an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. And
that's that.
Now, the problem is, unfortunately, bowel cancer is common. So I guess when we're thinking about it, we kind of need to know what it is. So, I mean, cancer by definition is an abnormal growth of cells. And in colorectal cancer, that is an abnormal growth of cells in the colon, which is the colon or the rectum. And that's also known as the large bowel. And that's the bit that starts at the bottom right of our tummy, sits on the outside like a picture frame. And it's where you have a predominantly water reabsorption. And colorectal cancer is when the cells in the bowel start dividing out of control and become problematic. And that can be dangerous generally in one of two ways. The first, which is what everybody worries about, is it can spread to other organs. And the second is physically where it grows. So that can cause bleeding, which can either be quite obvious in the toilet or quite occult and hidden, And that can result in anemia or a blockage in the bowel and other sort of local symptoms in the bowel. So I think just being aware of what colorectal cancer is I think the first thing. It is unfortunately very common. It's the fourth commonest cancer in the UK, but the second commonest cause of cancer death. But it is very treatable if caught early. We know that there are risk factors for colorectal cancer. The majority of cases are what we call sporadic. Just sort of thinking about it in a sort of simple level, our bowel cells turn over every probably 3 to 5 days. So that's what sort of around about up to 10 times a month. So 70 to 120 times a year. So if you're 60, it would have changed about 4,000 to 7,000 times. So
can I just ask you a question about that? I'm fascinated. Can you explain to me what you mean by they regrow? They are new.
Cells are continually regenerating and making copies of themselves. So
right.
In the same way, so my secretary at the Bath Clinic is fantastic, and when I dictate a letter, she types it. 99.9% of it is verbatim, word perfect. But there will, the longer the letter and the more letters I do, there will be the odd spelling error. And the more you do, the more you risk accumulating errors. As your cells turn over, the DNA, I mean, it's remarkable, the fecundity, what we say, the faithfulness of the transcription and the copying of the DNA. But you do accumulate errors as the cells divide. And eventually, over time, as you accumulate more errors, that can result in what we call polyps, these abnormal growths. And eventually, over time, they can, not will, but they can turn into cancer. So that's really what we're talking about when we talk about bowel cancer. And it brings about the importance of, as you say, ways to reduce that happening and then ways of diagnosing it when it has happened.
John, I'm delighted to have you with me, and thank you so much, because you are shedding light on something which is deeply fearful for many people and which many people want to know answers to. I've had a slew of messages, all of them asking the same thing. How do we prevent it? How do we know we've got it? What do we do?
So thank you for that. So I think the first thing to say is have no fear. You know, I think we often fear things that we don't understand. But actually, this is a condition that's very well understood. And the treatment and outcome really is excellent. So first of all, please don't be afraid. Take your symptoms seriously and know that there is help, definitely. So in order to answer to your question, in order, you said, how do we prevent it? So we know what it is, an abnormal growth of cells in the colon. We know that it's common. There are definitely well-recognized risk factors. It's all the common things that most of us know deep down, even if we don't like to admit it. So smoking is a risk factor. Obesity is a risk factor. I think something that we're coming to recognize much more nowadays, and people are much more savvy, is the impact of processed food and diet. It is a little bit complex, diet. Traditionally, we were always taught that a high-fat, low-fiber diet would cause this, but then when you look at certain groups like Eskimos, they do have a high-fat, low-fiber diet, but they don't have a high incidence of colorectal cancer. So it is complex, and we know that the environment can affect our genes, our natural genome, and we call that epigenetics. But in general, it's recognized that a diet high in processed food, food that comes out of a packet and is not made by nature, is a risk factor. Radiotherapy is a risk factor, and having polyps or a family history are important risk factors. So staying off smoking, alcohol increases your risk. So smoking, alcohol, obesity, and processed food, they're the things that we can have some control over as individuals.
Can I ask you that? How much does exercise come into your remit? You haven't mentioned it there. I mean, apart from the obesity, which can be helped by exercise,
That's a good question. So interestingly enough, so if people are interested, they should go to the Cancer Research UK website, and that talks in detail about all the risk factors. And insufficient, it's a double-edged sword. So it's insufficient activity is a risk factor, and exercise is hugely beneficial. So there is no question. We like to kind of, people like clear instructions. So often we say that we know that at least 20, 30 minutes of brisk activity several times a week is helpful. And there is evidence that suggests the risk of colorectal cancer is increased in a more sedentary lifestyle. Now, it's difficult to know if that's confounded, as you said and touched on, through obesity, in the same way that having an ashtray at home, ashtrays don't cause lung cancer, but if you have an ashtray, you've got an increased risk of lung cancer. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
It could be an indirect thing. But I do genuinely believe that a lot of these malignancies are due to an underlying inflammatory state, and a diet rich in processed food, visceral obesity. Patients do have an increased risk of all cancers with those. And I do think that is made definitely better through exercise. I think that's
absolutely, absolutely. And as you say, Doc, we all know this.
Yeah.
There's nothing you're telling us that isn't out there, isn't common parlay, isn't common knowledge. And yet we go, and we've all done it, and I'm sure, you know, everybody on the planet does it's not me. I didn't want to do that. All of that happens, doesn't
yes,
it?
Course,
so it's
yeah.
about us taking responsibility for ourselves.
Responsibility, of course, and people would generally, human being, you know, we would, it's much easier for people to take a tablet than it is to sort of change lifestyle. But
absolutely.
I really think that it makes I think the diet is really important.
Absolutely.
And smoking and these other risk factors.
So now that we're aware of these, and we can exercise more, lose the weight if we need to, we can stop smoking, we can reduce the amount of alcohol, we can stop the processed food and eat lots and lots of really good stuff. And then we aren't feeling right. What are the symptoms? What am I going to be aware of, Doc, that is going to raise a red flag that I need to come and see you about?
Thank you. This is really key. And there are symptoms that generally would cause alarm, but unfortunately there are symptoms that can quite easily be ignored, and there are symptoms that can be ignored for lots of reasons, most common of which is that they're embarrassing. So if you think, you remember I said at the beginning, the bowel, the colon, the large bowel sits on the outside like a picture frame. So the symptoms are different when we look at the left colon or the rectum, which are the end of the GI tract, or the right colon. So in general, symptoms that we need to be aware of are rectal bleeding, so that's blood coming out of the back passage. So that can either be blood on the loo roll or in the pan, or sometimes blood on the stool or mixed in with the stool. And that is always a serious symptom. It many times can be due to benign disease, but it is a symptom that needs to be taken seriously nonetheless. It is not due to, sometimes I've had patients saying, oh, I thought it was IBS. That's not IBS. Any rectal bleeding needs to be taken seriously. So it could be bright red in nature.
And immediate, isn't it? It's not if it's happened a couple of times, I'll wait and see if it happens again.
No. It needs to always be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So rectal bleeding is a very common symptom. And as I say, if that is from a source in the left colon, that can be bright red in nature. Sometimes if it's higher up in the bowel, it can be more occult or hidden. And sometimes patients with a right-sided tumour can develop quite a large amount of bleeding and won't notice it, because without going into too much technical detail, you'll remember I said at the start that the colon's job is to reabsorb water.
Mm.
So the stool, when it enters the colon in the right, is soft and liquidy, and as it travels, it becomes more solid. So a tumour on the left-hand side of the bowel, a growth, will cause a blockage quicker because the stool is solid and gets stuck than on the right side. So sometimes right-sided cancers can present with anemia being a low blood count, and that's something that always needs to be taken seriously. So rectal bleeding is a very important symptom to look out for. As I say, many cases are due to benign disease, such as hemorrhoids or a little tear, what we call a fissure or polyps, but it's an important symptom to always take seriously. Change in bowel habits, so that's either a change in the frequency of stool or a change in the consistency. So often patients say, Mr. Bunny, I used to go every morning at 9 o'clock, but for the last 6 weeks, I'm now going 3 times a day, and it's a lot looser, and I'm getting some crampy pain. So that is a change in bowel habit. Most of us are regular. Often people who do shift work, funnily enough, I was operating in the middle of the night just this morning. So patients who do shift work can have an erratic bowel habit anyway. Mm. But I think if you've got a regular bowel habit and it changes, that is something to definitely keep an eye on.
Okay. So if you've got any blood in your stool, anything on your toilet paper or in the pan, be aware of that. That's blood. That's a big red flag, literally. And changes in. And then, so we've got these, and we're going off to see Dr. John Bunny. We're over at Bath Clinic, and we've got all these. And then the process goes on, and we can't go on to all of those because there are so... Every cancer is as individual as every person, isn't it? And the complexities around it and the treatment plan and everything else. I had a question from Emily who said that she has just been told that she will have to have a treatment and then she will have to have a stoma. You can read from her text, Doc, that she is slightly worried. Terrified. Can you give me a really quick synopsis of what a stoma bag is and how she doesn't need to be terrified, please?
Of course. So, sorry, just in terms of the other symptoms, weight loss, abdominal pain and family history are other symptoms. But a stoma, so it comes from the Greek word meaning mouth. So a stoma is when you bring a bit of bowel onto the skin of the tummy wall. So the bowel, as I say, is a pipe from your mouth to your back passage. A lot of surgery is to remove the tumour, to stop those local symptoms I said at the start, as well as to take away the lymph glands and analyse them to decide if further treatment is needed. So like any bit of pipe, if you chop out a middle bit, you're left with two ends. Most of the time in surgery, we can replumb those two ends together to make a surgical join, or the medical term is anastomosis. So a lot of the time we do that through hand with stitches, which I quite like doing. Sometimes we use stapling guns to bring the bowel together. Now, if we're bringing the bowel together on the left-hand side, there is always a risk of a leak in that join. So even though we test it and have lots of sophisticated ways of doing it, that risk exists. So sometimes we bring a bit of bowel out before that join to divert the stool. So when you eat and drink, it empties into the bag, and that allows that join, in inverted commas, to rest or heal. And then when we know it's healed by doing some clever x-ray tests later, we can then get rid of the stoma.
That is the answer to the question that I think everybody's got in their mind. Is it permanent?
Yeah, so it depends on the specific patient.
Yeah.
So if it's very near the back passage, and there's literally nowhere beyond to join, then it can be. Sometimes we can join the bowel together, but you might have, for example, an elderly patient. Maybe she's had a complex obstetric history and her sphincter muscles are very weak. And even if we could potentially join it, the risk of function not being very good would be quite high, and we may elect to do a permanent stoma anyway. So that's a very individualized discussion with the consultant and also the stoma therapy team. And there is a lot of help at hand. There are some very good websites, and I'm very happy to offer Emily some advice afterwards if you'd like.
I'm
sure she'll be okay.
I'm delighted that you said that. Thank you so much. And I will ask her to get hold of you through the Bath Clinic, and we are huge advocates for you, as you are for us, and we appreciate it very much. And I know that the support is there, and I know that there's a very caring community at Bath Clinic, which I think is, it may not be half the battle, Doc, but it's an awful lot to weigh to it, isn't it? There's a lot of caring and consideration there.
A great team who are hugely supportive at the Bath Clinic, and I feel very privileged to work with them and have access to all of these tests that we need promptly, such as colonoscopy camera tests, CT scans, MRIs. We have them all literally at our disposal.
Brilliant. Brilliant. There's one thing I'd just like to touch on before we let you go, because I know you're a busy man and you've got lots of things to do, and we appreciate your time. Just so, eating, not smoking, all of those good things, looking after your diet, do some exercise. That's how we can prevent it. You touched on, blood in your stools, change of stool consistency or regularity. You touched briefly on two other things there, Doc, and I didn't, and just the symptoms, just for people to be aware, because it's awareness month this month, and it's very important.
Weight loss is very important, so unintentional weight loss is something that must always be taken seriously. Sometimes it's quite hard to quantify that. It may be sometimes patients' loved ones that notice it. Sometimes it may be your belt might be a bit looser or your clothes are looser. Weight loss is an important symptom. Abdominal pain can be an important symptom also. Colicky abdominal pain, gripey pain. Family history is very important as well. The problem is at the start, as I said, because colorectal cancer is very common, the fourth commonest cancer in the UK, and as I say, I think the lifetime risk for men is about 1 in 17 and 1 in 20 for women. Family history needs to be taken in a considered way. So it's mainly first-degree relatives at a younger age. So having a grandparent aged 85 or something does not necessarily confer a higher risk. But if you're worried, then absolutely get in touch. And, you know, we would always be happy to discuss it. And we would always have a low threshold to screen patients with a screening colonoscopy. But ultimately, most of the work, as you say, is in prevention, and the decision making is key. I often say that the decisions are more important than the incisions. We talk a lot now about
brilliant.
We talk a lot about robotic surgery and keyhole, and they're all fantastically powerful tools that make a huge impact. But we need that individualized decision making. I often say, choose well, cut well, get well. And I think that is the key thing, and that's something that we're proud of providing in the Bath Clinic as well as the RUH, of course.
Doc, I think there's so many beautiful thoughts around that, and you are obviously one of the, not obviously, not all doctors have that ability to convey what they do in such a succinct and kind and approachable way. So I really appreciate you taking your time out to speak to us on Radio Bath today. It, I think, has reduced some of the stress in some of the callers who've spoken, I've spoken to off air, and a couple of people who have texted in. I will put them in touch with you. However, I'm going to ask you to remind us of that one quote that you said, a pound of...
An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure.
I love it. I love it. So
Blackwell, very famous.
Just look after ourselves. I think that's the way forwards, isn't it?
Brilliant. Absolutely. And thank you very much for asking me to speak. And I think that it's great that we're flagging this up. It is still a very treatable cancer. And as you say, April is Bowel Cancer Awareness Month. So it's good that we're perpetuating that message.
Absolutely. Dr. John Bunny, thank you so much for your time today. We will be in touch with you. I'm going to have some messages from our lovely sponsors here at Radio Bath, play some music, and celebrate the fact that we have guys like you who've taken the time out to become such amazing surgeons. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.